Welcome to the Women Living Well After 50 podcast. I'm Sue Long Carrick and I'm passionate about inspiring, motivating, supporting and informing women over 50 to embrace this exciting time of life. Health and wellness in mind, body and spirit are the foundations for living well, but there is so much more to a life well lived. Each week through conversations with my guests, I'll be presenting topics that will help us all to live well and enjoy life. So join me as we discover new ways to become women living well after 50. Are you ready to start living? What are you waiting for? Let's get started. Welcome to another episode of the Women Living Well After 50 podcast. I'm Sue Long Carrick and it's lovely to have you join me. Now, are you feeling weighed down by sluggishness and those extra few kilos that you're carrying, especially those that seem to creep on during midlife and beyond? Well, are you ready to reclaim your zest for life and wellness? My guest today is Barbara Diaz de Leon from Daily Wellness for You LLC, and Barbara just might be able to help. Barbara is a midlife mindset and health coach, registered nurse, primal health coach, and transformational nutrition coach who has undergone her own remarkable health transformation and now helps other women do the same. Her upcoming book, Feel Great in 28, encapsulates a proven program that she has developed and successfully implemented with a multitude of clients over the years. Barbara's passion lies in providing hope and alleviating suffering through actionable advice and inspiring anecdotes. So let's go and join the conversation. Welcome, Barbara. It's lovely to have you join me on the Women Living Well After 50 podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and joy to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm happy to have you join me. We did have you approach me last year, and unfortunately it was just when I was taking a bit of a hiatus from the podcast. But as soon as I started back, I thought I'm getting on to Barbara because you've got a great story and you've got and you help women, and that's what we're all about. So what I wanted to start with is to ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey and how you came to be a health coach.
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity to share that story. And yeah, my story is what drives me, gives me the passion to do what I'm doing now. So it started actually a long time ago in my 30s. And I'm 59 now. I'll be 60 in June at the time of this recording. And in my 30s, I was tired all the time. And, doctors at first thought it was my thyroid, and I got prescribed medicine and it helped a little bit, but not much. And, you know, so I started being told, well, you know, you get tired when you get older. And I was only in my 30s. And granted, I had no children. So if you ask any other 30 some year old with children, they would say I had no business being tired, you know. So I was very disappointed with that. And then I ended up with a lot of hormone issues too. I ended up getting a surgical hysterectomy. So then I didn't have children of my own. And I got more and more tired and I started to lose my zest for life. I had digestive issues. The fatigue was my main chronic symptom, but I also had body-wide joint pain, brain fog, sleep issues, you name it. I had it. I was all over the board. And I just knew there was something physical, that there was a physical manifestation. And my background, I'm a registered nurse, and I still am a registered nurse. I'm just not working in a clinic setting at this time. And, you know, I just knew there was something. I love science and I wanted to dig into it, and I just couldn't figure it out. And so after over 15 years of chronic fatigue and all those symptoms, I finally started to figure it out. I did find an integrative provider that was very helpful to help me. You know, this person just turned over enough rocks. It was just, it's a difficult diagnosis. I have Hashimoto's thyroiditis. I have chronic Lyme disease. I have genetic detoxification issues. So I have a very high level of heavy metals in my body. And there's a lot going on. So when I finally got properly diagnosed and with proper treatment, that still wasn't quite everything I needed to do. I actually got into a system of wanting to supplement my way out of it. And you can't, you need to, you know, I didn't realize I needed to do my part on the daily, you know, with lifestyle, nutrition, balanced movement. And then when this all happened, I started to enter into menopause, and it was 53 when I officially started, you know, to when I got properly diagnosed, but it took time to transform my health, but I did. And I got passionate about it because I was in the height of menopause. Oh, and I gained weight too, which by then I had lost so much zest for life. I frankly didn't matter to me how large I was getting, because I felt I just wanted to wake up and care again. You know, the depression was horrible from all those years of just being tired and being told, even from loved ones, you know, they meant well, but they would say like, well, you know, we all get tired. It's such an invisible disease. You know, you don't see it. And it's not like you have crutches or a cast on or you know, something like that. So, yeah, I did figure out, you know, what the proper diet was for myself and what works, what I find works well with a lot of menopause women and beyond. I work with a lot of people with autoimmune disease like myself. And I started to turn things around and I started to feel great again. I started to feel good and alive. I felt better than I had since my 20s because my symptoms had started in my 30s. And it is such a joy now, fast forward, to wake up and embrace the day and, you know, be excited for what's to come. And, you know, so I look at it this way. I'm at the beginning of my new life. I'm basically, you know, in my late 50s. I feel like I'm a child, you know, who gets to learn and enjoy life and all these things and embrace things. So that's my story. So I switched careers. I was the last job I had as a registered nurse. I was actually working in the corporate setting in administrative field and compliance and things like that. And now I work for myself as a health coach because I'm, you know, turned my life around and I love nothing better than helping other women turn their life around. And I have special fondness for women who are, you know, over 50 and beyond.
Yes. And I mean, it is difficult when you know something's going on, but you're just not sure what it is. So you became a health coach, and I just wanted to ask you a primal health coach, I think it is. So what is a primal lifestyle?
Yes. I appreciate you asking that. And that is, I'm a double certified health coach. So that's one of my certifications. That's the one I really follow closely to and adhere to because it's basically living a simple whole foods lifestyle with balanced movement, not doing any, you know, crazy cardio and things like that, and getting sunshine, social things matter, having fun. You know, that's what the primal lifestyle is about. It's about, you know, doing the things that are in alignment with our human body. We need outdoor, we need sunshine, we need balanced exercise, we need, you know, proper nutrition. And in today's environment, with all the challenges we have with the food not being as nutritious as it used to be, even if you here in the US, even if you buy all organic, it still has less nutrients than it did in 1950. And, you know, we're challenged with that. And not to mention the mental stresses and the constant dings and notifications and things like that. So the primal lifestyle takes us back to the simplify things, you know, back to whole foods, back to eating foods that necessarily don't come in a box with an ingredient label. I'm not against that, but I'm just saying, you know, it's just getting back to the basics. And it is a great way to live. And that introduction to that type of nutrition plan was one of the first entries I had into shifting my health around for my transformation.
Yes. Well, I'd like to say that the majority of my life is following that primal lifestyle, and it's not that difficult. And it's just a matter of changing our attitudes and just taking a little bit of time, especially around the food area, to not just grab something for convenience. Because when you get to it, I know we buy a lot of whole foods. We don't buy many packaged foods. My husband has a few health issues, and one of them's type 2 diabetes, but he also has heart issues and so forth. So we have to be careful of the diet. And I just find I can whip up a delicious meal in the same time as what it would be for something out of a packet. It's just a matter of planning, isn't it? And having the right ingredients on hand.
Yes, definitely. That planning is so key. In fact, I just got done with a coaching session with one of my clients, and she has shares a lot of the conditions I have. I, of course, attract that type of person in my business. And she was saying before she didn't meal prep, you know, she would eat things that weren't healthy for her and on the go. And you're so right. It doesn't take much time. And I look at it this way too, that the small amount of time you spend in the kitchen now, when it seems like you don't have time, but if you don't make the time now, you're going to likely need to make that time later waiting in the doctor office. And here in the US, when you're waiting at the doctor's office, you can wait for a long time before you see them. So anyway, that's where your time's going to be spent. And spending time in a kitchen can, not to simplify it, but it is simple, can reduce your likelihood of some of these lifestyle illnesses.
Yes.
And, you know, I understand there are some people that can, quote, get away with it and do whatever they want, live recklessly. And then they go cut their grass at 99 years old and they go to sleep that night and they, you know, go to bed and they don't wake up like that. Mm. That's like a very small percent of people. And I'm always like, don't take that chance. Don't gamble on your life like that. That's not, you know. No.
Well, that's true too. And I mean, just because you are following a healthier lifestyle doesn't mean that you're immune to chronic illness. Like last year, most people who know me know that I'm quite fit and healthy. I'm 67 this year, and I, you know, I try to follow a healthy and active lifestyle. However, you know, I was diagnosed with cardiovascular disease, which everyone went, oh my goodness, you know, how come you've got that? And yet you're so into fitness and eating well and all of that. And it comes down to genetics. So I can't really do anything about it, but I can, you know, I thought to myself, well, how much worse would it have been if I hadn't been living a healthier lifestyle? And, you know, so now I've got that advantage. It doesn't mean that you're immune to getting something, but having that basic level there of health and fitness is so much better for you than, you know, coming from a lower base.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up because, you're not immune to it, you know, and that's such an important point because some of my, especially when they're newer clients earlier in the journey, you know, if they get ill or something, they're like, well, this wasn't worth it. I'm sick now. It's like, well, it's not a fix from illness and genetics and, you know, strong viruses that go around and things like that, especially if you're just down a little bit, like just catches you at that right time. And, but like, to your point, like it does make that journey or that path during the illness so much better. You know, I've had some clients report to me just from shifting to a lifestyle like you have, you know, with the whole foods or like myself. And they said, you know, every year I get bronchitis, but this year I bounced back so much better, you know, so they still got the bronchitis. They needed antibiotics and sometimes they needed some prednisone too, but they bounced back so much better. And that's because they're honoring their body and doing right by it. I love that you brought that up because that is an important point. It's, you know, it doesn't make you immune or bulletproof, you know, from all the things out there, but it sure makes that path a lot better. Or if you have an existing condition, like, you know, I have clients with existing conditions, like, you know, including different stages of kidney disease, and you really can't reverse that. The idea is not to get worse, not to go from stage 2 to 3 and 3 to 4. That's the goal. And there's a lot you can do to help that along. But again, like to your point, genetics does play a big role. So it's important to know what your genetics are and what your, you know, weaknesses maybe, so you can work.
That's right. Those. Exactly. And I've written about that before too, because I've got a history of different cancers in the family. My mum, dad, and brother all died in their early to mid 60s from some form of cancer. Dad had heart issues. That's where I get it from. So, you know, you have to be aware of what your family medical history is and what your genetics are. And, you know, because that way, at least you're informed, you can go and get your screenings and relevant tests and perhaps find something sooner. And it's more preventative rather than reactive.
Yeah, indeed, because a lot of these things are so silent, you know, by the time they show up as a symptom and you get seen for it, you know, I'm not saying it's too late, but like there's some damage that has been done. And thank you, you know, for sharing your family history. I share the same. It's the cancer and the cardiovascular and blood pressure. And, you know, I have an aneurysm and, you know, I'm off my blood pressure medicines now. I used to be on 2 just to keep it at high normal. But if I need blood pressure medicine again, by my goodness, I am taking it, you know,
yes,
absolutely. Yeah. And I do monitor my blood pressure frequently. Just because of that reason, you know, it's important for me to keep it more normal low, you know, if anything, and if I'm happy to be off my medicines, but you know, the moment I need to take them, I most certainly will, because I have that genetic tendency. There's a lot of my siblings have the same issue, you know, with blood pressure. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yes. You can't change the genetics. You can do everything you can, but you can't change those. So what do you think, you know, we've been talking about the different symptoms and different things that you've had and experienced, but what do you think are the two biggest health issues that women in midlife and beyond face? And what are your tips to overcoming them?
Well, one thing I see, and it might not seem like the answer a health coach would say, well, like maybe it would, but stress management. My goodness, that is such... You know, there's a saying that stress kills, and it most certainly does. It's a slow death, and it halts all of everyone's health goals and their ability to heal and things like that. When the stress is unmanaged, when chronic stress is unmanaged, and you know, like some of my clients, their grandmothers are helping their kids, their grandkids, plus they're working corporate jobs. You know, I do have some that are retired too, and you know, they have their own set of different things going on. You know, for sure. But the stress really needs to be dialed in. In fact, you know, one of my retired clients that I was talking to, she's, you know, been retired for quite some time, but she's had some stressors come up. And it's like, and we need to, you know, monitor that stress management is the biggest, I think one of the biggest drivers, you know, for women, for midlife women and beyond. It just seems like after 50 years old, our systems, our cortisol balance, we're more sensitive. And I don't know why, but it seems like it's almost, I don't want to say magical, but it kind of is when people get their stress dialed in and do tools that work for them, like breathing practices or meditation or yoga, you know, whatever it may be, a bike ride, a walk outside. I love, my biggest prescription is walking outdoors for sure. Getting outside in that sun. And, so that's one. And, you know, the other one I'm divided on between, sleep, ensuring you get quality sleep, because that's another area where your body does all this healing. And that's why, you know, a lot of people sleep a lot when they're ill. It's like a baby, you know, they sleep 18 hours a day because their body's under construction. It's not being lazy, it's doing something. So you need sleep, you know, but also blood sugar balance. At least here with the ladies that I serve, a lot of times blood sugar balance is a big deal, regardless of family history of diabetes. But that said, a lot of them do have the type 2, you know, going on in a strong way. We just become more insulin sensitive or less insulin sensitive as you enter into menopause. So it's a given, you know, you're going to be more insulin resistant. So back to the whole foods again for the win, you know, on that. And that can make a big difference. Yeah.
Yes. Normally, you know, the answer would be something like, oh, weight gain or things like that, which is a big issue. Mm-hmm. But I think your point about stress is, I mean, we live in a stressful world, and our retirement is different these days as well. Because as you said, a lot of us, I know myself, it's only one afternoon a week now, but I used to one day a week mind my grandsons before they started school, and now I see them and collect them from school one day a week. But helping out, because childcare costs are so expensive, both and the cost of living is there, so both parents have to work, and you know, you're sort of involved with the family. But also I think we try to think that we've got to fill up all our day with some form of doing something instead of just being occasionally, because that can cause stress as well. You need to have your rest as well as you know, doing things. But also, I suppose it's the stress of, for some women who are caught in that sandwich generation where they're looking after elderly parents and they still might have children or the grandchildren that they're looking after. So there's a lot going on and it's hard to sort of turn off from that.
Right, indeed. That is so true, you know, and the thing is too, with the stress management, a lot of my clients, you know, most of them, not all, but most of them, like 99%, have a weight loss goal and they're starving themselves or eating like, well, I'm only eating 1,000, you know, calories a day and I'm doing an hour cardio, you know, tons of cardio at the gym and but their stress is all over the map. And it's like, you're going to have that's an uphill battle unless you get that stress managed. Mm-hmm. And so the weight gain, you know, definitely is one of the most common goals, you know, for the clients that I work with. Usually their first goal is they want to feel good again. And I love that because like, that's exactly where I was. Like, it was like the weight loss became secondary. It used to be primary and then it became secondary when I would not, you know, when I would wake up every day and not love life and, you know, be depressed thinking about the day ahead. Yeah. Cause I didn't feel so good or I felt horrible actually, but yeah. So that, you know, the sleep also ties into that weight too. So,
Yes, I was just going to ask you some tips about the sleep because that is something that does become an issue, especially as you age. And also if you're stressed, you find it difficult to sleep. You've got things on your mind. So have you got any tips for those of us that struggle with a good night's sleep?
Yeah, it's such an important area. And yeah, I would love to share. And everybody's a bit different with the tips. And I just say it's you know, here in the US, you know, chili is pretty popular in the winter seasons for the states that have cold seasons. And, you know, I know everybody makes it different, you know. And so I always think of like sleep tips like chili, like what works for one may not work for another and so on. But one really important thing, and this is the least favorite amongst my clients, and it was a hard one for me initially, but it's a screen curfew, turning off screens at least an hour before bed, you know, 30 minutes at a minimum, but really go for that hour. No phone, no laptop, no tablets, you know, nothing like that. A hard copy book, you know, printed book with a reading light is fine. And I know you could wear the blue blocker glasses and all of that, but I just think your nervous system needs to be calmed down too. And so even though people think, you know, well, I fall asleep watching TikTok because it's, you know, relaxes me. It's so, you know, the ones that they watch are just, you know, kind of funny and things like that. And I fall asleep with the phone in my hand and I go off to sleep. I said, yeah, but you're not having quality sleep. That's a dopamine hit for your brain. You don't want to give your brain these dopamine hits right before bed. And it's, you know, so that's it, at first also too, when they give up or stop, when they implement the screen curfew, at first their brain resists, you know, and they're like, wait, Barbara, you said that I would sleep better. I sleep worse. I'm like, give it a week because your brain is going to resist that. It's missing its dopamine candy that you were giving it every night, even though alcohol could be a bit of the same way too, where, you know, it feels like it's relaxing you and you're drifting you off, but it is really messing up with your sleep cycle. So screen curfew is really a top one, a dark room, you know, for sure. And if you can't have a dark room due to night lights, wear an eye mask, and they sell eye masks that have contours in them so your eyes can blink and move. I can't wear the flat one myself. I have to wear a contoured one if your room can't get dark enough with the blinds and things like that, with curtains and blinds. And sometimes something, essential oils can be really good too, like lavender, vetiver, frankincense. The only thing with essential oils, if you have pets, be very careful because some essential oils that are safe for humans are very dangerous for pets and they have a heightened sense of smell. So I have pets, so I don't diffuse oils in my house on purpose because they run away and, you know, they can smell a lot better. A cup of chamomile tea in the evening is really nice too, a chamomile blend. Some people are surprised about how effective that can be. I had a skeptic and she's like, fine, I'll try it. And she goes, oh my goodness, that really worked. But like I said, everyone's different. Someone might say too, another client might be like, it just made me get up and go to the bathroom more. So I'm like, yeah, well, that's a no-go. We're not going to do the tea then, you know, for you on that. Yeah, for sure. So, and also things like keeping your room cooler, and then, having a weighted blanket can be helpful for some people too. And sometimes just doing a meditation practice before bedtime. I have somebody that swears by that, or emotional freedom technique, tapping, doing a short tapping session. And you don't have to, if the tapping is where you're actually literally tapping different parts of your face and your body, that could be stimulating. And so Nick Ortner, who's very popular in the tapping field, he says you could just rub those areas gently with your fingers. So it's not so stimulating. So there's a workaround for that. So those are just a few things you can check out. But the big thing is calming down your nervous system. You know, you're with notifications and all of that all day long. That's really important.
And I like the fact that you brought up about not everything works for everyone. Everybody's different. So we need to find, and we need to be a little bit open-minded, try a few different techniques or things to and find what works for us. And I think that's important to remember as well, because for example, you're sharing your coaching, but you're going to be tailoring that to the individual person. And it's a matter of finding out what works for them and then moving forward. So I want to talk to you about the book that you've written, which I believe you said just became a bestseller. So that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The book's called Feel Great in 28. So I'd like you to tell us a little bit about the book and why you wrote it.
Oh, thank you so much. And I just wanted to comment on your point about the customization for each person. It's a different, I always say to my newer clients, it's a recipe. We need to figure out what your recipe for living the best life you can is. And it's all a bit different. But I did write the book because there are some common big levers that apply to most people, you know, the women that I work with. So the book is tailored for midlife and beyond. Women for sure, but it addresses four pillars. And this is how my coaching goes too, where I address nutrition, movement, mindset practices, and lifestyle. And then lifestyle would be things like sleep, stress management, and play. So those four pillars are addressed in the book. And I explain the importance of each one in there and give some tips on each of those things. And it's a relatively short book. It's just under 200 pages. Because I intentionally made it a short book, because one of the number one things with my clients are they don't have time. And like you brought up, like they're taking care of aging parents and children, the sandwich generation. Yep, that's them. So, and there's recipes in there too, to show that, you know, part of the nutrition plan that I recommend, it's a gut healing plan. And it's that can make a world of difference in your life. When you have a healthy gut, your immune system's in there, you make your neurotransmitters, a lot of your like serotonin and dopamine. I mean, that's what happened to me. Once I ate the proper diet and I healed my gut got healed as a result. It was like a veil was lifted. My depression lifted. It went away. It was just, you know, wonderful, but that was gut healing. And so the book addresses that too. So I do get into, you know, each of those pillars. So it's definitely really, there's just one section on nutrition, you know, in there, and one section on exercise. And I do dive into the stress management. And I do give an action plan at the end. It's for 28 days, so 4 weeks. And each 7 days you build upon habits slowly, because I'm very big on building up habits. And when something becomes a habit, it becomes, that's how these lifestyle changes become sustainable, because now it's a habit. Now you're going to do it all the time. And so it's a slow build up. You start with some things week one of each of the pillars, you know, the lifestyle, mindset, movement, and exercise and nutrition. And then week two, you build on that. Week three, build a little bit more. Week four. So it does clip along at a pretty rapid pace. It's a kickstart, though. I like to emphasize that. It's not a trend. You're not going to be transformed in 28 days, especially after years of illness and you're not, you know, being healthy. So, but it's a great way to get kickstarted, to get going, you know, on yes. improved life. Yeah.
And I think that's the important part. Some people, the most difficult part is starting and not feeling overwhelmed. And I like the way that you talk about how you build each week on each of the areas, because you can't achieve the big picture, or you can't get to the end immediately. So by taking those small steps and building on those habits, as you say, by the end of the 28 days, you know, you're going to see some achievement, and probably each week see a little achievement, which helps your motivation and your self-confidence to keep going.
Yeah, it's amazing how this, when you take care of your health, how that just translates into so many other areas of your life. It permeates into your relationships, how you show up for your family, for yourself, for your loved ones. If you're working at your job, or if you're wherever you're volunteering at, it shows up in so many ways, when you take care of your health. And hence why I became a health coach. I'm just very passionate about spreading this word. And that's why, I wrote the book too, because it's a, more inexpensive way just to, to get a hold of some, a great way to transform, to get kickstarted, to transform your life. I just want people to not have to suffer for over 15 years like I did. Let's shorten that window. And it is, it is simple. It may not be easy. Like giving up sugar is hard. I was a sugar addict, so I understand that. There are some tips in there about that too. And I get it. It's simple. It doesn't make it easy, or there's some dedication, but that's where the mindset piece comes in too. And that's why I'm very big on that in my coaching too, is the mindset, because there will be interruptions in the process. I say the potholes of life. You're going to hit those potholes along the way. The wheels are going to fall off the bus. It happens to everybody, and it's about navigating through that.
And I like, pardon me, the way you're looking at the holistic approach, because you can't just look after one area and fix that. You've really got to fix the whole, don't you? And so you might have your nutrition, but you've also got to have your mindset, as you say, and the lifestyle and all those other areas, the movement. So it's like a big as you say, recipe of all these different ingredients to make that one recipe to make you feel great.
Yes, indeed. It all fits together. And when you address just one part of those pillars, you may get some results, but they may not be lasting. And that's the other thing too. The four pillars are like the stools of a chair. It holds you up. When one is a little weak, the others will hold you up and get you through. So yeah, it's very.
So, what do you say to women who probably go, "Oh, look, I can't be bothered, or it's too hard, it's too late. I just have too many things wrong with me, and or I just don't think I can face trying to make the changes."
Yeah. Oh, I can relate to that. Just from all the fatigue I had, I just didn't feel like it. It's like I just don't, want to do anything here. I would strongly recommend, first of all, start with just one or two things. Just one or two things. And I shouldn't say the word just before it, because I don't want to minimize that. Because just
No.
adding in one or two things, like drinking more water, that alone has so many benefits in it. And in fact, I did a free challenge once in my Facebook group, and it was a couple years ago in January. What do you, one thing that you want to implement, or one thing you want to stop doing? And everyone got all excited. I'm going to do these five things. I'm like, no, keep it to one, because you might trail off, and they do. So just stick with one thing. Keep it very simple. But also the mindset piece is very important here. It's important that you love yourself, that you know you're worth it, and that you matter. And that's a big message I have for the ladies out there, that, especially a lot of moms and a lot of mothers, put themselves on the back burner, and they make them last on the list. And it's like, no, you need to be first on that list. It's not selfish, it's self-preservation. And then you can show up. Like, so just really diving into like why, that you do matter. You are worth the effort. And that's another one of my messages. And then also, it's not too late. And even if it is, like, say you have stage four kidney disease or something, like, I get that. Like, that's really far gone. But your mindset, as long as you still have your mind, you can change how you react to it too. I love people like Viktor Frankl's story, and things like that. It's very, very encouraging. You have so much control over your thoughts. So, there's that too. So the mindset piece is really important for the ladies who are extra discouraged. And I get it. I've been there with that discouragement.
Yes, because it can be daunting. You've got to make all these changes, and you've got all these external influences as well. And so you do need a little bit of support when you're going through that. But I think it comes from within, and I think that you have to really want to make the changes, and at least give things a try. And once you find, as you said, once you start with one little change, then you build on that. And as I said before, that confidence comes that you can see, start seeing little results, and that gives you the impetus to want to keep going.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. It's like that, like a stone rolling down a hill. You know, by the time it gets to the middle, it's really going strong. And that's that momentum you build as you start to feel better. You start to incrementally feel better and like, wow, this, I feel better. It feels good to feel good. And you want to keep going. Yeah.
Well, we're going to be coming towards the end of our chat, Barbara, and I've still got one question that I ask all of my guests, but before we do, is there anything else that you'd like to cover before we, or any other tips that you'd like to leave with the listeners before we come towards the end?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share at the end here. Two things come to mind immediately. And one is that if you're experiencing symptoms, you know, you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and you're tired all the time and you're feeling down and out, and you just can't seem to lose the weight or, you know, whatever it may be. Just because something's common doesn't make it normal, you know? So like when I was told in my 30s, well, we're all getting older. I'm told by a doctor in my 30s that, and it's just like, it might be common, but that's not normal. And, you know, so that's one thing. The other thing is too, there's hope. It's not too late. You know, I didn't even start working out till I was 55. My transformation with the diagnoses started at 53. And so I had multiple orthopedic procedures and surgeries. You know, if I would just go to take a can of something out of the pantry, I would hurt my shoulder and need a steroid injection. So I went from that to now I'm training for a bikini competition and I'm going to be 60 in June. So yeah. Yeah. So it's like, so if I could do it, you could do it, you know, for sure. So just, you know, it's not too late. So those are the two points that I wanted to share.
Yeah, that's excellent. Excellent advice and very motivating. Okay. So my question to you before we close today, Barbara, is what does being a woman living well mean to you?
Oh, I love that question so much. And the first thing that comes to mind is a woman living well would be a woman who wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror and loves herself for who she is and wants and takes care of herself and puts herself, self-care as a priority. So that way she can serve and love others all the more and embrace the day and enjoy it and make every single day count.
That's really an important point, and it does go to help us live well. I actually saw this morning I was scrolling through Facebook and something came up about having 1 hour a day for self-care. We've got 24 hours in a day. How are we going to just take 1 hour, which is nothing, mm-hmm. in the scheme of things, and dedicate that to ourselves and doing something that we enjoy?
Yeah. Just embrace the day. You know, life is so sweet. You know, I had so many years of being fatigued and depressed. It's like wake up in the morning to look forward to the day and make it count, because you count, you matter. Mm. Yeah,
that's wonderful and a lovely note to finish on. So congratulations again on your book. I'll be putting all the links to your social media, to your website and to the book, so that those listeners who are interested can certainly contact you, and I would encourage them to do so. And thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to meet you and to discuss about your journey in transformation and how we can feel great in 28.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy and an honor and such a wonderful opportunity to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Well, that was a great conversation with Barbara Diaz de Leon. It was lovely to meet her and to hear her story about how she transformed herself and only in her mid-50s, which gives hope for everyone there. It's never too late. We talked about her book, Feel Great in 28, and I hope that you've enjoyed the conversation that I had with Barbara, and that you will check out all her links and the book Feel Great in 28. So don't forget to share the episode with a friend who would definitely benefit from what we've discussed today, I'm sure. And until next time, remember to live well, enjoy life, and most of all, be a woman living life your way. Bye for now.